Hey guys, thanks for joining us online this morning. If you haven't followed our Facebook page already, make sure you click the follow button and set your notifications to see first so you don't miss a post. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to our channel and click the bell so you get alerts when we post new videos. Today I've asked Phil Sargent to open our time together by leading us in worship.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, though Satan should buffet, through trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed
Amen and amen. Thank you, Phil. As we begin this series, I asked a simple yet profound question. Who are you? We learned that from the beginning, Satan has called truth into question. He has called God's character into question. And like Eve, we believe some of those lies. And it shaped what we do and how we think. Because of this, an identity crisis exists in people's lives. We learned that our identity is tied to whatever we give our hearts to. Some people's identity is tied to their job, their hobby, or even their family. But for those who have followed Jesus, our identity is in Christ. We've been looking at the life of Peter, his call, his denial, his writings that encourage us to stay strong and remain faithful. Today, I want to spend just a few minutes looking at a pivotal point in Peter's life that clarified his identity. So grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus asked his disciples a very important question. Who do people say I am? The popular opinion of the day was John the Baptist, or Elijah, or even Jeremiah. In other words, another prophet. Most people recognized Jesus as a good man, as a teacher, even a prophet, but not the Messiah. The first thing we learn from the text is this. Reputation isn't enough, if anything at all. Despite all the signs and wonders that Jesus had done, the watching world concluded that he was just another prophet. So Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded without hesitation, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This was Peter's declaration. Jesus affirmed his confession as being revealed from God himself. How many people base what they know about Jesus or even the scripture on secondhand faith? They've heard someone talk about Jesus. Maybe they've seen a verse pictured on Instagram. Maybe their parents are followers of Jesus, or even had a granddad that's a preacher. I certainly can identify with that. All those things give Jesus a reputation, but he's so much more than that. People may be satisfied with Jesus as a good, moral teacher who taught people how to serve and live, but it isn't enough to proclaim Jesus as good without declaring him as God. And only God reveals that kind of truth to people. David Platt writes, "We must never forget that the grace of God is the only way that anyone can behold the beauty of Christ. God, in his mercy, has opened our eyes to see Jesus, to know who he is, to believe in him, and to confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who you say Jesus is determines everything about how you follow him. Is he just a good teacher? You might do some good things. Did he just have some good ideas? You might think some good thoughts. Is he just a good example to follow? Some may consider you a good person. Or is he more than just that? If you believe that he is the Messiah, who came to save us from our sins, that by his death he conquered sin for us and made a way for us to be forgiven, then you have made a declaration that changes everything about how you live. As Paul put it, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." I'm not going to stake my claim on someone else's view of Jesus' reputation. I'm going to trust what God has said in his word. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The second thing we learn in this passage is this. God's church is more than what we think. Jesus springboards from Peter's declaration to teach us something about the church. This is the first time we see the word church, and Jesus uses it to refer to the gathering of Christ followers. Jesus is basically telling his disciples that anyone who makes this declaration of faith in him, that they're the ones who make up the church. It is on this truth that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that Jesus will build his church. The church is more than just a building. It is the people of God living on mission for Jesus. If there's a time to remember that, it should be now. Even as we're sheltering at home, we are still the church, and we still must be on mission. So go check on your neighbors. Make sure they have what they need. Encourage one another. Pray for each other. Read the Bible. Even share what you're learning on social media. Just because we're limited in what we can do and where we can go doesn't mean that the gospel is limited. Last week, Church Online, a popular streaming platform for churches, was overwhelmed by traffic and actually experienced some service disruptions. I received an email from them on Monday, and I was blown away. They had a record 28,000 people respond that they had accepted Christ, which topped the previous week's record of 15,000. The church may not be able to gather in a building, but the church is still on mission, and the gospel is still changing lives. We need to remember that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The church is more than what you think. The church is God's people who have received his mercy and now live on mission for his glory. Jesus also tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some translations read, the forces of Hades will not overpower it. I like the way J.C. Ryle emphasized the indestructible nature of the church. He said this, its members may be persecuted, oppressed, imprisoned, beaten, beheaded, burned. But the true church is never altogether extinguished. It rises again from its afflictions. The church is an anvil that has broken many a hammer in this world and will break many a hammer still. Listen, the coronavirus pandemic will not destroy the church. Sure, it's altered our normal rhythms and practices, but it has not stopped the church. If you think that by not meeting together that somehow we don't have church, well, you've been missing out on a whole lot of the church. I'm praying that our eyes would see the ministry of the church from a whole new perspective, one that the early New Testament church knew very well. The gospel effectiveness of the church is not limited to the four walls of a building. God's church is more than what we think. As we wrap up this series, I want to return to the opening question. Who are you? How you answer that question reveals what you are basing your identity on. What have you given your heart to? Have you given it to Jesus? Some of you may be searching for hope. Some of you may be familiar with Jesus. He does have quite the reputation. Some of you may be good people. You may give to the poor. You may even pray often. You know, there was a man just like that in the book of Acts. His name was Cornelius. He was a centurion, and the scripture says that he was a devout man who feared God, who gave generously and prayed continually. To make a long story short, God answered his prayers and told him to bring Peter to his home. Little did Cornelius know that God had been preparing Peter for this encounter. Through a vision, Peter understood that God intended for all people, including Gentiles, to come to faith in Christ. So when he was called upon, Peter went. When he arrived, he found a room full of people that Cornelius had gathered, and he proclaimed to them the good news of the resurrected Christ. And they believed, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as it had on the disciples. And Jesus returned to Jerusalem, Peter returned to Jerusalem and explained all that had happened, and they all glorified God because repentance had been granted even to the Gentiles. This may not sound like that big of a deal, but in those days, Jews did not even associate with Gentiles. God knocked down those barriers with the good news of the gospel. Peter declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and it changed lives, and it opened the door to the nations hearing and believing in the name of Jesus. Cornelius was a good man, a God-fearing man, but he had not declared that Jesus is the Christ. He had not trusted that Jesus' work on the cross provided forgiveness for all his sins and made him right with the Father. But that all changed with a declaration. The truth is, we all have a sin-filled reason that we shouldn't be included in the kingdom. But thanks be to God, we have a grace-filled reason that we can be included in the kingdom, Jesus. Have you publicly declared Jesus? Do you know that God loved you enough that he was willing to send his only son to die in your place on the cross so that you could experience forgiveness and redemption? If you've never trusted Jesus, I want to encourage you to put your faith and trust in him today. Maybe you have declared Jesus as your Lord, but is your declaration building up the church? Are you living out the gospel? Let me ask you a difficult question. Who knows Jesus better because of the gospel lived out in you? I want to encourage you to seize the divine appointments to communicate Christ. Be a signpost pointing people to Jesus. I want to encourage you to live sent. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for our time together this morning in your word. God, I want to thank you for speaking to us. And God, I pray today, Lord, that as you speak to people's heart, that you would draw them to yourself. And if there's someone watching and listening to this message that has never trusted in Jesus to be their Savior, God, I pray, Lord, that they would choose to follow after you today. God, I thank you for walking with us in these difficult times. I thank you for the constant encouragement that we have in Christ. And God, I do pray in your mercy that you would cause an end to this pandemic. God, that you would be with those who are suffering. God, that you would show grace and mercy in people's lives. God, thank you again for all these things. And we ask them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you made a decision to follow Christ today, we want to know about it. You can call us or email us, or you can even post a comment, and we'll make sure to follow up with you. Before you click away, I need to remind you of an important mission-giving opportunity. Leading up to Easter, our church participates in the Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. This is an annual mission offering that supports the work of the North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Every single penny of the offering supports missionaries serving in the U.S. and Canada. This year's theme is It's All About the Gospel. For every $350 we raise, a New Testament will be added to the map, just like you see already in the Northeast. And we'll continue that to the West Coast, to the Northwest states, and all across the United States until we meet our goal. I want to thank Diane Sanders and Christy Sanders for doing such a great job on our visual reminder for this year's offering. You can help us reach our church goal of $3,500 by giving at our website or by mailing your check to the church. If you give online, enter the amount. Make sure you change the to field to Annie Armstrong Easter Offering. Then you can enter your name, your email address, and all the other things that ask you to do. You even have the option to cover the fees, but don't worry about that. We'll be happy to pay for them. If you're sending a check, make sure you note Annie Armstrong Easter Offering on the memo line. By the way, I want to thank you for your continued generosity in supporting the church financially. You also can give online, or you can mail your tithes to the church. If you'd like to bring your offering to the church, please call me to make arrangements. Thanks again for joining me today, and I hope you have a great week. And remember, live sent.